You're watching Single Process with Joe and Bob, a video series bringing you the experts on going from a we to a me. Our episode today is on sleep.
Yeah, and I could probably only say this about this interview, but we're hoping that this interview puts you to sleep.
And if it does, I'm putting it on replay because I cannot sleep anymore.
Oh my God. Now I'll wake up to go to the bathroom at 2 a.m. I can't get back to sleep. Like, what's happened to me?
I can't even fall asleep half the time.
I know, but there are all these strategies. So we brought in this clinical nutritionist named Christina Hess, and we're going to talk about it. Thank you.
Welcome, Christina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So talk to us about why I can't sleep. I'll just make this all about me.
No, it's a chronic issue. I mean, I feel like sleep issues are everywhere.
Yes.
So what's going on?
It's also a modern day problem because we have so much technology stimulating us. People are on their screens late at night. They think they're relaxing watching their Netflix, but they have their laptops open and their phones are buzzing.
Well,
and it's
in the
stimulating.
Yeah.
TV's in the bedroom.
You shouldn't have a TV in the bedroom?
Oh, definitely not.
Even if you're watching porn.
All right, Bob. All right, this is about sleep.
So there's a wind down process to sleeping at night?
Absolutely. We call it having good sleep hygiene.
Okay.
So what good sleep hygiene includes is making your room nice and dark. It includes making your room cooler. You know, often we have the heat turned up a little too hot and then we run hot. So one of the tricks to falling asleep is to cool your body down at night. So when you're being stimulated by watching, say, a detective show, you have all these screens going, you're answering your phone, you're looking at the blue light that's coming off the phone, it's stimulating, it's not relaxing.
Talk to me about that blue light. I saw on your website, you said you can buy blue light blocking glasses?
Yes, absolutely, on Amazon, cheaply, $9. I mean, they're more expensive ones, but all they do, you can get some cool looking ones, they're orange tinted, and they block out that blue wave spectrum.
And what does that do? That just, that stimulates
stimulation? It is stimulating, it's what we get from our sun.
Okay.
So when we block it out, it starts to signal to our brain to produce melatonin, which is then the gateway to signaling.
Hit on melatonin. Should we be taking drugs to go to sleep? And if you do, what kind of sleep do you get?
Well, I don't consider melatonin a drug per se. It's not a pharmaceutical. It would be considered a supplement, a natural sleep aid. And it is a hormone that is produced in our body, and some people have so much stress, especially people in transition, that their cortisol levels are elevated. They're in fight or flight all the time. So cortisol and melatonin are what we call antagonistic. They're opposite to each other. So when your cortisol is elevated and you're in that fight or flight mode, your body can't produce melatonin to help signal.
I did not realize that. So if you take melatonin as a supplement, you're basically just re-regulating.
Absolutely. And you can take it for a short period of time just to get back on a good cycle. So some of the tips that I think help is going to bed and waking up at the same time.
Even the weekends? Like if you go out on a Friday night, try it? Okay.
And if you can experiment with how much everyone needs, you know, between 7 to 9 hours.
That's a lot of sleep. Most people are getting more like 6 to 7.
And that is definitely, the people that say they can get by on 6, they're fooling themselves. And they're, it's going to lead to body breakdown and health issues down the road.
Okay, so now what I like to do before I go to bed, because I think it's relaxing, is have a glass of wine.
Everyone I know does this.
Yes.
Okay. Talk about that as a relaxant.
Because we think it's a good, you know, stress reliever, right?
Yes.
But it's really only up to 1 ounce of alcohol that actually relaxes our nervous system.
Which is how much in a glass of wine?
It's like a little splash. It's a splash.
It's a swig.
It's an ounce of vodka. We can do it.
It's a swig. So, actually, it's very sleep disruptive because while it may help you fall asleep, you could pass out right from too much wine or any other alcohol. Your liver has to metabolize that through the night, and so it's going to cause wakefulness through the night. It's very sleep disruptive, as is keeping your phone by your head. Just the EMFs, the electromagnetic frequencies coming off the phone.
Really?
So definitely put your phone into airplane mode.
Airplane, not no disturb. I put it on the
no disturb is good.
Same thing.
Airplane mode,
but
better.
No Wi-Fi coming through. is even better.
So what if your mind is racing? Yes. What happens to me is I go to bed, and mm-hmm. the nights I do mm-hmm. fall asleep, I wake up at 2 and go to the bathroom, and then
lists
mm-hmm. what I have to do tomorrow. Am I fighting with my ex? Am I worried about my kids? And here we just start the spiral.
Great question. One of the things that I recommend is that people download any number of meditation apps onto their phone and start practicing, you know, having a guided meditation. The Calm app has these things called sleep stories, and you can listen to those as they ease you into sleep. And just having a nice bedtime routine as part of that sleep hygiene. Maybe make a cup of tea instead of the wine, and maybe take a bath. Just have some kind of bedtime ritual that signals to your body it's time to go to bed.
When should you stop eating and drinking at night? Is it 2 hours before bedtime?
It's really 3 to 4 hours before wow. bedtime.
Okay. And it's good for weight loss too. That's always been my mantra. Loss. Don't eat 3 hours before bed.
Yes, we're learning now. There's actual research that shows that our beta cells in the pancreas go to sleep when the sun goes down. So when we're eating into the night, we're asking the pancreas to produce insulin, and it's very sluggish. So any nighttime eating we do harms us more than anything else.
Okay.
Crazy.
And then the last thing I read is, like, people will take Ambien and NyQuil right. and stuff. You said you don't hit REM sleep.
It really robs your brain's ability to dream, which is a very important neural process. It helps us digest, if you will, emotional information that we receive through the day. And if people really want to learn more about sleep, they should read this book by a sleep researcher. It's called Why We Sleep. It's a fascinating book, and it really goes into more depth about the different sleep cycles, about why it's important, what happens with jet lag, on the different health ramifications of lack of sleep.
I like this Beyond the Divorce topic, because if you can train your kids to be healthy, good sleepers, I think it helps them emotionally through
everything.
A divorce or everything.
Because when you feel well rested, you have resilience. Totally. And when you see a toddler who needs a nap, then they start crying.
Like.
That's, you know, and adults are big kids too, right? And so when we are running sleep deprived, and then we're relying on stimulants like coffee all through the day to get us through, we don't have that emotional reserve to handle the stresses.
And your
of what's
cognitive
going on.
Function improves. I also want to say, as a last thing, I know we're almost out of time, but good nutrition beyond not eating 3 hours before bed.
Right.
We've had a chat offline about that. Having a nutritional plan regulates your sugar, right?
Absolutely. You know, simple rules, whatever philosophy you follow, eat real food. Make sure it's nutrient-dense food. Try to, you know, eat fresh food and pesticide-free, organic when possible, when you can. And don't eat too much, you know. It's, you know, simple.
It seems like common sense. Really, it's a great reminder.
Eat when you're hungry.
Yeah, your website has great information on all of this. Yeah. So
yes, but actually sleep even overrides
good nutrition.
It really is single-hand the most important thing you can do for your health.
Well, this interview did not put me to sleep, so I'm sorry you failed. but maybe tonight will. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So for ways to find Christina Hess and her practice and other topics, please check us out at thesingleprocess.com.